Earth as a singular planet. In fact, it is anything but. What it is a story not of a universe,
but a multiverse.
Where universes and planets, such as Earth, were replicated and mirrored across a vibrating, infinite plane. Some barely different from the next.
Others drastically so.
This is DC On Screen. Every week, Dave and Jason talk about the multiverse of DC properties on film and television. But be warned, if it's been officially released, you can expect they'll spoil it.
Welcome to DC On Screen, episode 485. I'm your host, David Z. Robertson. This is my co-host, Jason Goss.
Hello.
This episode, we're going to be talking about the season finale of Arrow, Life Sentence, season 6, episode 23. What did you think, man? Like, they kind of knocked it out of the park for this finale.
Oh, for sure. The season overall, because this is also like a season review. It had its moments where I thought, "What are you doing here?" And I still think, and you know, Mark Guggenheim agrees with me that like, there were some miscalculations about how they executed the plan.
Uh huh.
But it seems to me that the plan the entire time was, let's take the team, break it down to basically just Oliver again. And then have him rebuild the team's trust.
Uh-huh.
I'm okay with that plan. It doesn't bother me at all.
I thought...
Like, if this was a... If we were in this season and this was a part of a movie, this would be like the Darkest Before the Dawn, the hero's lost, the looks like the villain's going to get away with it kind of thing. This is Save the Cat. I'm fine with that. Where it works all the time. And over the course of the series, like, over the course of the season, I enjoyed it. There were just some spots in there where, like, no, I didn't care about all the stupid arguments between the team and that kind of, like... Both of those teams were wrong about their feelings. Like, it just, they were both wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And like, it presented people that were otherwise smart people in a very dumb light. Like, they all should have kind of known better in certain ways. None of them should have been as quick to judge the other. All this kind of stuff that, like, at the very least, though, the apologies that Oliver was dishing out this episode felt wonderful. It at least set that up.
Yeah. And I love that, I can't remember who it was that noticed, like, dude, this is your goodbye tour. What are you doing?
It's Felicity. Like, pops in and was like, yeah, so can't help but notice.
I have very, very obviously, if you've listened to any of the other episodes of our show that where we've talked about it, I've not been a big fan of this season. I hate this season, honestly. Like, it's been pretty bad. But the season finale was really good.
Yeah, I'm predictable in, like, the sense that, like, we knew Oliver wouldn't just somehow get immunity out of that. We knew at the end of the last episode that this was going to go badly for him. Hell, the episode's named Life Sentence. We get it.
Yeah, and you know, but you know that it's been renewed. They've already put out like a one sheet for it. There's Oliver in the mask. Like, he's gonna come out.
He'll be
if
fine.
It's okay.
And there may, and it's this is the kind of thing where, like, I'm so glad Guggenheim's out of the picture, because I swear I think it was him that said, "Hey, there's some stuff coming, and it's really gonna stick." And I'm like, "No, it's not, dude. Just go away. I don't trust anything you say anymore. Go. Stop lying to me."
Uh-huh.
Like, there's gonna be some consequences for this season. It's gonna be big, like Lance dying, if that's what he was talking about. Yeah, I think Lance is dead. Sure, like, he's already got another project he's on.
Yeah, absolutely. And that one hurt, though, because I love that character.
I do love that character. And they had a great, like, last conversation, you know, the whole you were a good father thing. It was really fucking touching. Like, Mel just killed it.
Mm-hmm.
This episode, all those scenes, man. Oof. He has perfected that, like, stony, I want to cry, but it's not the right time look.
Yeah.
The I have to be strong right now look. He's perfected it.
That was a little bit on the, like, oh, good job, evil Laurel. You called Sarah after he was in surgery?
Yeah. I forgot, like, she was even in the episode, and then she showed up and kind of didn't affect it very much. It's like, oh, come on, man. Y'all couldn't have given them one scene? Like, what is going on here?
I hope she used her time machine to go back and say goodbye to her dad.
Seriously. That was weird. It really was. Like, was there like a scheduling issue between Blackthorne and her that they just could not get that done or something? I don't know, man. I really don't.
That was weird.
That was weird.
That's really weird. Like, oh, thanks for not calling Thea, because, like, they haven't had like a father-daughter relationship the last like season and a half.
Yeah. Yeah. That one's weird, man.
I'm picking nits over here. Like, it was a...
The only pick and nit I wanted to do with this episode...
It was a strong episode.
It was a strong episode. But that was a little weird. Because they even build, like, hey, Katie Lotz is coming back. And then I saw it and was like, she did nothing. All she did was show up and... and just kind of not cry and then cry, and that was it. That was all. It wasn't rewarding at all for me to see her in this. It was so strange. But there was in the scene where Lance gets shot, like, I had a series of questions. One, why would he be bluffing? We've not at any point shown that he cares so much about her that surely he's bluffing. That was a stupid call.
It was.
Where's the camera that he's supposed to use to address the city? Did I just not see it, or was it not there? I'm confused. And then three.
He's like, you have 5 seconds, and I'm like,
on what?
Where's the crew?
Is he supposed to Skype the city?
Yeah.
I doubt you left him in there with a cell phone.
Yeah. Diaz is just, like, that kind of irrational.
That was weird, man. And then even if he does address the city, he looks like he got his ass beat right now.
Right.
What? Like, the FBI is going to leave. I'm like, well, the guy's clearly in charge. He told us to leave. We have to get out. No, they're going to be like, that guy is clearly being held hostage. We should probably stick around for a second. Mm-hmm. That was weird.
It was weird.
Okay, I got one more thing, though.
Uh-huh.
Diaz should die for the way he holds a cell phone.
I don't think I noticed. How did he hold
He's one of the guys that, like, listens for a second and then holds it in front of his face to talk to it and then holds it back on his ear to listen again and then holds it in front. Like, it can hear you. You just hold it on your ear and you talk and it can hear you.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So he's like one of these people that like 90% of the people who are driving around me on any given day.
Yeah. Just like has to switch it to his mouth, to the ear, to the mouth, to the ear, to the mouth. Like,
yeah.
Like I get confused when I see young people because I think it's older people who still remember what a landline feels like who think that the ear has to be the mouth needs to be touching it for it to work. It doesn't work that way. You just talk into it.
Is it like people who are afraid of getting germs on their face or oil on their face from their fingers so they don't want acne? What? I don't know.
That would be a way more logical explanation than anything I've thought of so far. Anyway.
You're welcome.
So it was rewarding later when the cell phone gets shot, and I was like, if you were holding it right, it wouldn't be able to shoot it off your head.
Uh-huh.
It's like, you idiot. Anyway, that's not even the show's fault. That's just a thing that annoys me. Like, it made me hate him more. I was like, maybe that's just good writing.
I liked the character. Like, to me, the best episode of the season was the dragon. It was his episode, like, where we went back and looked at his backstory. And for that reason, I'm happy to see him again next season.
I am. I do like the idea that there wasn't just a big bad this season, that they've built him up huge and then took him down hard. And then it's just him and what looked like four guys. And he's just still out there. But it also means that the FBI has to stay. And I feel like that's probably how we get Oliver out, is the FBI can't handle Diaz. And they have to put a mask back on Ollie and send him back in the field. Probably with a second Green Arrow, if I'm guessing.
I'm down with that. And we know Roy's coming back, so who knows what's going on.
Oh, this is delightful. Apparently there's an ice cream truck still.
Ooh.
If that shows up, that's what was happening.
Send him over my way.
It'll be a minute.
I'm not congested enough. I need some dairy in my throat.
This is what else...
By the way, I'm a little annoyed by how the term lactose intolerant makes you seem like you're somehow racist against lactose.
Yeah.
I'm lactose intolerant, but I would love not to be.
Right.
I still eat it. I consume it as much as I can.
As much as can physically be done. Oh, this is another nice part. I don't think Anatoly was included outright in the immunity. But what I do know is that because he did the smart thing, which was kind of realize, okay, Diaz is getting dangerous. I think the moth's getting a little too close to the flame. He shows up, hello, friends, turns himself in.
Yep.
That means he's still alive in the show, which makes me happy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what the hell is the deal with the longbow hunters?
I didn't think they existed.
I don't know what's going on with that, but they sure sounded scary. And I guess Diaz still has their contact info. Because he was the only thing they had left that he had left at that point.
See, I don't think so, because he basically rules the four quadrants now, or whatever it's called, the quadrant or whatever.
Did that was when the four quadrants had control of the city, which they don't anymore. The city is now it's not like swept clean and a fresh city, but the arrests have been made, stuff's been put in motion, and Oliver has this, you know, complete the mission to save our city, like, call to action for all the citizens, I'm turning myself in, we started the fight, you gotta finish it kind of thing. So there's clearly still corruption in the city, but, like, the quadrants relied on that corruption, and it has been, they took a huge chunk out of it.
Right.
So I don't know what good the quadrant is, which is fine, because it was a weird concept they just introduced on us in the middle of nothing.
I would imagine there are still, like, people from all over the country, at least, that he could call to help him out. Because while he killed everyone He killed pretty much everyone that was, like, in charge of it. He still has, like, all the lackeys and stuff.
Yeah, but it's not like he earned his position. He showed up, killed everyone, was really scary, yeah, but... and then now he has no leverage. So if you're, if there's, like, Quadrant over in Gotham or something that, that gets, hears wind of that, they're, they have no respect for that guy. He's done. They see him again, maybe. They put him out of his misery. We move on. Mob rules.
Maybe they follow him, because there's nowhere else to go.
See, they would still have their corruption in their city. We all we did was clean up Star City. I think they still got their own thing kicking, and he looks like a weak link they'd take out. That's my take on it.
Maybe. I think they do. Like, in the comics, like, Richard Dragon was with the Longbow Hunters. So, I suspect we'll
I think
we'll
they have... are the only thing he's got left, is a scrappy team of assassins, and he starts making some moves.
Maybe.
That's my bet.
I don't know. But yeah, Longbow Hunters and Richard Dragon, that's been long on the docket, man. Everyone's been going, like, I don't know who you got else other than, you know, Onomatopoeia and Longbow Hunters. This is Green Arrow we're talking about.
Yeah. They'll probably pull out Onomatopoeia. I mean, as soon as Kevin Smith figures out a way to actually
he figured out a way.
He did finally figure it out?
Yeah.
I remember he said he was having trouble with it. So that's a good point. Goog's out of the picture. Maybe...
because Guggenheim doesn't care for Kevin Smith.
Yeah. They had a little beef early, like, years and years ago. And he's obviously over with the rest of the CW verse, but, yeah, like, that's...
yeah.
If they do it, I think they caught Kevin Smith, and I didn't catch it, but if you say Kevin Smith figured out a way to represent that visually, then yeah, he'd love to do it.
Yeah, I think what he said is, like, he wanted to do, instead of actually having Onomatopoeia make the noises, like, he leaves a note that has the Onomatopoeia on it. And the person, like, looks down and sees, like, a little scrap of paper that has, like, you know... schlacked or something on it, and all of a sudden, like,
the
sword comes across the throat or whatever. Yeah, yeah. Something like that.
Yeah, I could dig
that. Which I like less. I want basically the dude from the Police Academy films making the
No. That'd be so stupid.
You'd think that, but, I mean, I don't really want him, but they can make that creepy.
Yeah, I mean, maybe. You'd have to have the right actor. It definitely would have to be the opposite end of that spectrum, whatever that is. Whatever Winslow, I think his name, maybe, I don't know. Whatever that dude's name,
like,
was.
If Cameron Monaghan could do it, could make noises like that, just imagine him doing that.
Sure. Yeah, that could work. If you can find someone with as much, like, depth of creepiness and acting skills as him to do it, sure. I don't even know where to start, though.
Oh, yeah.
All right, we're wearing you out there, buddy?
Apparently.
Been a long
apparently
day. Oh, one thing more about just this episode.
Mm-hmm.
That was some great music in the climax fight. Like, the
I don't even remember it.
It stood out to me during the final, like, Green Arrow Diaz fight. That was some pretty great music.
It needed to be to try to distract from what was obviously a not Richard Diaz or Ricardo Diaz fighting Green Arrow.
Honestly,
like, it's not usually that.
It's just like, because of, like, the room that I watch this stuff in, I sometimes can't catch that if I watch it during the daytime. It has to be, like, pitch dark for me to catch some stuff like that.
Fair enough.
I don't even care. And plus, something really has to stand out for me to care.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't really care.
Like, it has to be as bad as that one flash scene that me and you still remember.
We still remember it? As I don't remember.
We were talking about it a while back. It was, like, the one in the alley where he's, like, running up and down the wall for the first time or something, and you see him, and it's just like, oh my god, did they pull him out of a copy of Goldeneye for this thing? That looks terrible. Oh, Lord.
I do remember that.
It were bad.
Oh.
Yeah, good. Yeah. Thought there was a lot of good acting this episode. Renee also killed it.
I thought he was going to die.
I did. And that's why I was so proud of him after the scene. I was like, man, he actually had me thinking he was going to die. By the way, that FBI agent he got out of that fire needs to be just sent home immediately.
Mm-hmm.
That's not going to come. You can't freeze like that, man. You gotta run when you get the chance.
Even if you're using movie logic, you walk slowly away from the explosion. You don't just stand there and stare at it.
No. No, no, no.
Do you ever see that stupid music video that was like, I don't remember who did it. I know J.J. Abrams was, I think it was Andy Samberg and J.J. Abrams. It was like J.J. Abrams had, like, a tie that was like a piano. And they're just, the whole thing is just a song about how cool guys don't look at explosions.
Oh, no, I heard. water cooler-esque talk about it, but no, I never actually saw that one.
It was funny.
And yet somehow I did see, like, Throw It on the Ground. I don't know what Sandberg stuff I actually catch and what I don't.
Throw It on the Ground was great.
It's pretty random.
My dad's not a phone!
Forgot about that. That's pretty good. No, I didn't catch any of that. But cool. Overall, like, man, pretty happy with the series in general. But this season ended up being, I'm not as down on it as you are. Like, it was a little exhausting here and there, but it was otherwise pretty good. Like, Diaz is compelling. They finally sold me on Laurel in, like, a way that I really liked, and a way that she kind of, like, we've gotten onto her acting at times, and I still don't feel bad about it in certain situations. Like, I don't know who made her do that, and I hope it wasn't for her sake. There are moments where, like, who made that choice and why? But especially this version of her, they've really given her a lot to deal with, and she's kind of killed it. Like, she kind of knocked it out of the park a few times.
Yeah. She's done an okay job this season. I still would rather just see her not be a thing.
Just so there's stakes. That's what I want.
Yeah, I feel like the other character, like her original character died in vain a little bit. And, I mean, this is almost just like a stone's throw away from brainwashing or something, you know? Where it's like, yeah, she's not the character you knew, but she's the character you knew. But yeah, I mean, I have been more down on this season, and I apologize. I've been really annoyed with it. I've been very annoyed with the divisive nature of the teams, like how they've fallen apart. I don't like their motivations. I don't like how they rationalize their actions. You know,
it was a really exhausting part of the season to work through those infighting between those two teams.
I mean, Curtis getting, like, all uppity because somebody tracked him. I'm like, dude, you tracked Felicity last year because you didn't trust her.
Right.
And you were right. You were right.
That behavior was rewarded. With rightness. I don't know, man.
Everyone did the wrong thing for the right reasons here. What are we... Can we stop?
Yeah. It finally, like, it was just a little bit of a slog there going through the infighting. But it did get me an episode, if nothing else, it got me an episode here that was really rewarding to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the team's as solid as it's ever been. Like I said, save the cat. I don't even quite resent the method. I did think they miscalculated how much we'd care about those arguments. Because we didn't.
Yeah, I think they tried to just pull something out of... They just tried to, like, pull it out of those characters and... We've already dealt with all this stuff. We dealt with it last year. Like, there shouldn't be any question to the new teammates why they would be tracking them or doing anything, because one of their own was a traitor.
Yeah.
Like, little Artemis girl, she betrayed Oliver.
Right.
This isn't hard.
Yeah.
Then Dinah betrayed them with Vigilante.
I know.
But this season.
Like, what they were trying to get at in the course of this season was, you know, there's all that damage, and we've got to get past that, and you got to kind of go through a crucible together, and they did. And it made for a good, I like where we are now kind of thing, but it was just a lot. Like, I could have done all that in a couple episodes and been way happier. Instead, we did it in what, like,
and, you know,
six or seven?
The other confusing bit is that, like, Oliver never seems to really change. He never really seems to grow. Like, at the end of every season, it seems like he has grown, and, like, he's learned a couple of lessons, and then, like, the next season, he just makes all the same mistakes again, which is true to humanity, but it's not very satisfying when you're watching a television show and you're looking for a character arc.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I hope all of that is beyond us.
That being said,
now.
It still felt like he learned something at the end of this episode.
It did. It felt like it.
It could just be part of the trap again. We'll see.
Oh, man. I will say, like, I really hope there's a lot of people out there who hate new Team Arrow, and I do like every one of those characters individually. I have not cared where they took them this season so much, but I do like those characters. I liked them last year, and I don't know. Like, the fandom has basically become, like, new Team Arrow versus original Team Arrow, and that's a real bummer to me. But the storyline...
Well, yeah, but the storyline they gave him this year forced us into that conversation, and that was not a good call.
Yeah. It's been a real bummer. So hopefully it gets back to being a show with people who are like on the same side there.
Yeah. I just wonder what they're going to do with Diaz, though. Like, are we going to do two seasons of the same guy? Because that's bold. I like the guy. I like Acevedo. He's a good actor. But two seasons? That's a stretch.
My guess is that he'll be the first part of the season.
You think he's like before the crossover?
Well,
because they're going to do about 8 or 9 episodes traditionally before the crossover, and then
I think he'll probably be, you know, about what Michael Emerson was for this year,
right?
You know, Caden James,
right?
And setting up something else.
The wheel keeps turning.
That only matters to those on the rim.
Yeah, he's going to be on the rim.
All right. Here's a thing that I thought I would hate, but I didn't. William.
Yeah, he did.
I actually liked William.
He's a little wooden for me every now and then, but he's overall pretty good. I like how they've used him.
Yeah, I didn't like him at the beginning of the season so much because they've got him like pointing at Oliver and saying, there's the bad man.
That was a bad start to his character, man. That was bad.
It was. I'm like, you're like 35, kid.
Yeah. I'm kidding.
He's obviously not 35.
That was weird. But yeah, like, they've used him well. And I like that they are trying to grow into him being a family man. They're not just using him as some kind of motivation. They just pull out of the box every now and then. It's not like every five episodes they're like, but you have a kid. And then they show him for a second, so we're sad. It's like, clearly Oliver's been trying to.
Like every villain just has the kid, you know?
Yeah, it's not the boy Blunder or some crap. Like
Oliver's like, no.
Yeah. They've been trying to grow him into being a family guy, so.
Yeah.
That worked for me.
But just like with Diggle, it just makes me wish that, like, they would stop doing what they're doing. I'm like, you've got kids. Come on, man.
Yeah, but that's the thing. They addressed that with Diggle pretty well. He actually says, you know, that thing about, like, I compartmentalize. Like, when I have the gun on, all that stuff, blah, blah, blah. They addressed that pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
But they clearly have a different plan for Oliver, and even a different plan for Renee. Like, they've got an idea of what the relationship is with all their kids, and it's working for me. Oh, I love that bit about like Felicity saying that he's confused. She's wondering how a woman he met a year ago is his only parent now. I was like, oh, that's rough.
Uh huh. Yep, man. I did get a little tired of the Diggle Oliver conversation. Like, you know, I put the needs of my child above or below the needs of your child, etc. Yeah, I mean, that's what you've been... I mean, just quit, man. You're good.
You can just walk away.
Like, you said you wanted to be a part of the team, and Oliver was like, cool, let's do this, because I'm the leader of this team. And now you're like, I did this. Like, yeah, that was the idea.
We discussed that before we left the bunker. You could have stayed in the bunker.
Anyway... I'm looking forward to the next season.
Yeah. Oh, I guess the new bunker is going to be like the FBI headquarters, wherever it is in Star City now.
Oh yeah, I forgot. We kind of lost the bunker, didn't
we? Not even kinda. That shit blowed up.
I'm good with that. I liked that bunker.
It was
a
good looking
bunker. Sweet bunker. Yeah. I was excited when it became the bunker. I saw the pictures of it and went, oh, a bunker. A good. That's awesome.
I would have hated to be the IT guy for that bunker.
I mean, that was just Felicity.
I know. But I know my skill set and I know hers. And me looking at that thing, I'd have been like, I don't know how I'm going to coordinate this many monitors, man. I don't even know how to do that. That is... I'm going to get on YouTube for a while. I'll be back.
I did laugh when she was like, operating the FBI systems are way easier when you're not hacking.
Yeah, that was good.
All right. Well, I think we're going to move on to our Gotham review. So, I don't know. If you enjoyed hearing us talk about this episode, feel free to pop over to dconscreen.com for every episode for free. That's, 484 of them at this point. 485 of them? Whatever.
We're up there.
It's a lot.
Yeah. I mean, we're everything's wrapping up right now, so we're stuck on reviews, and then we got news coming after that. It'll still be, like, just another minute for news. But there's some really good Arrow news coming up whenever we get to it.
Is there?
Oh, yeah.
Give it to me, man. Let me know. What is it? What's happening?
Should we just drop that one?
Yeah, let's just drop it.
The crossover?
What's happening?
The crossover? Apparently it's going to be Gotham and Batwoman.
Oh, that's pretty dope.
Yeah. Fun times.
We know Ollie's getting out of prison now.
Right? There's no way that I'm going to have Stephen Amell meet a member of the Bat family. Like, that's happening. That's happening. Plus, he was the one that was super excited to announce it. Like, they had him announce it at the upfronts. That's the thing.
Mm.
It fits well. We're doing a bunch of reviews right now, and then they'll be done with the upfronts and the wrapping up who's what and who's who. The May presentations by the time we get back for news. So it'll be a big news episode when we get back.
Yeah. That's awesome. So yeah, anyway, we're going to go ahead and do the Gotham season finale review, and love to see you over there. Hopefully you watch the show and are interested in what we have to say. DCOnScreen.com. Until next time, keep some DC on your screen. Our opening narration was from Dan Juergens' The History of the DC Universe, Part 3 of 10, as featured in DC 52, Week 4. It was performed by me, David C. Robertson. Intro music by Jason Goss and Michael Shackelford. Michael's band, Future Elevators, could be found on Spotify or future-elevators.com. Our introduction was performed by Effie Opelders of the fantastic podcast Stealing the Remote, which lives on SoundCloud. It can also be found on iTunes and Stitcher. We are proudly in partnership with TV Time, TV show calendar and social media site that lets you keep track of what you're watching, what your friends are watching, and where you all left off. DC On Screen is a maladjusted production. Visit maladjusted.tv for more from me and Jason, including sketch comedy, an improvised web series, vlogs, parodies, and more.